Oak session number 13249, reel 3.
Charles Anscombe, reel 3.
Beg your pardon?
You were just saying about how the captain said it was a very good shot by the U-boat.
Yeah.
Do you remember an incident a bit later, in December 1940, when you torpedoed and sank a ship called the Carlo Martinolic?
Well, I can't remember offhand now. I know we sank several ships, but I couldn't really remember now. I was on her because I did all patrols on her. I didn't miss one.
What are your most outstanding memories from those days with the Parthian in the Mediterranean?
Well, I
suppose 1941.
I suppose we were the first successful submarine. I suppose that's stuck in my memory more than anything. Well, I think that the one that really sticks in my memory more than anything, thinking about it, was that we went into Mytilene Harbour. The Germans there again were using it for a springboard to Crete. And on a Sunday morning, we went into Mytilene. That is a place called Mytilene. It's actually in the island of Mytilene in the Dodecanese. And we did a recce. We went right inside the harbour, and there was a dumb lighter and several kayaks alongside the wall that the Germans were using. The dumb lighter would obviously be towed to with ammunition, and the kayaks were being used for transporting troops. Well, prior to going on this patrol, we loaded two Mark II torpedoes for Malta. They were relics of the First World War. These were loaded into the after tubes. And Commander got on a retiring course. We hadn't been spotted, and fired these two torpedoes. One, the depth-keeping mechanism failed. She jumped about 20 foot in the air, came down again, didn't go off course, and exploded underneath the ammunition barge. And the other one ran through and hit the jetty where the kayaks were loaded. We went partly out to sea towards the channel. We came in a swept channel. Well, in a channel, I don't know about being swept or not. And we were on a retreating course out when we heard the anti-submarine vessels going over the top. They thought we had fired from seaward. But instead of that, we were in the channel. And we lay low there till it quietened down, and then we just waddled out to sea again, and that was that. That was the end of it. Now, you know what the Parthian, the Parthians were, don't you? I don't know if you know a bit about the Amazons, these women that feigned defeat and used to fire back over their shoulders.
It was called Parthian shot.
Parthian shot, exactly. And she fired her two stern torpedoes, so she truly fired a Parthian shot. And I think she was the only submarine that lived up to her name in doing that. I don't know if anybody else has thought about that.
Parthian shot was a shot you were supposed to fire when you were retreating.
Retreating, yes.
That attack on enemy shipping in Mytilene Harbour was at the time of Crete.
Yes.
So it would have been June 1941.
Yeah, June 1941.
During those days in 40-41, whilst Parthian was operating in the Mediterranean, did it always operate alone or in conjunction with what you might call a wolf pack?
No, we never, I don't think we ever operated as a wolf pack, not to my knowledge. We used to follow closely on the heels of one another when one was leaving, one was always there to take over. But I don't think we had the submarines to. I think we only had 15 submarines when war was declared in the Mediterranean, in the eastern Mediterranean. The 10th flotilla hadn't arrived, I'm sure, at Malta. That was Shrimp Simpson's lot. I really can't think of anything offhand.
Any other outstanding incidents that stick in your mind from the Parthian days?
Any other incidents?
How tired did you get on patrol in the Mediterranean?
We didn't really get tired because we wasn't doing anything. We probably get a bit sort of lethargic because of lack of fresh air, but I don't think you ever really got what you might call tired. The captain might have done because, I mean, he had a lot on his plate. But we just worked our normal watches, which was two on and four off.
Did you think that you were not going to come back when you went out on patrol?
No. You just can never happen to us. Which I think every man who's been in the forces during the war thinks. It doesn't always work that way.
Now, it was whilst you were with the Parthian that you were tracking the Souffleur, the yes. Vichy submarine.
Yes, they had been very active in the Eastern Mediterranean of Beirut. And we were sent there to get these submarines if we could. We both sighted one another more or less at the same time, and we both dived.
What time of day was that?
I think it was around about midday, I think, anyway. And anyway, we spotted and we both dived. And we could hear one another underwater. And we were tracking him, and I think he was trying to track us. And he went on, I think I'm right in saying, for 3.5 hours. I felt a bit washed out because I was on the planes all this time. And of course, you are tensed up a little bit then. And suddenly, the Souffleur lost us. And so we surfaced. No, sorry, we came to periscope depth. And he saw the Souffleur stationary in the water. So he fired. And as you know, he sank her because that's on that thing there. They found her afterwards.
And that was June 1941, off the Syrian coast.
Oh, yes. Yes, Eastern Mediterranean.
Did you attempt any survivors there?
Well, the captain thought about it, and he said it was only 2 miles off Beirut. And now, it was midday when we sank her, that's right. I guess we were just 2 miles off the coast. And he said that he thought it'd be foolhardy to go up under the, more or less under the French guns, or Vichy French. And he decided he wouldn't.
How did you come to leave the Parthian?
Well, I'd have been on her, for she was sent home. And July, August, I think it was 1941. And I finished my time, and she went to America to refit. And I came home. And I'd just had my... I was entitled to 6 weeks leave, because we got 2 weeks for every year we were away. And I had my... just on 6 weeks leave. And I came back to Blockhouse, and there was a draft ship for me straight to the Tempest, which I didn't like very much.
Why not?
Well, being as people had been home in home waters since the summer, but they'd been to sea, instructional and things like that. And I thought, well, why can't they go? They can teach people about submarines. What about having a go at taking one to sea? Well, would you like it?
No.
No, neither did I. Anyway, I saw Captain SM, and he agreed with me. And they decided that I would take her to Alexandria, and I would come straight home after I'd done that. But, of course, that wasn't to be, because she was sunk on her first patrol. So I came home by Italy.
Can you tell me about Tempest, how she compared with the Parthian?
Oh, she was a killer, all right, just by the look of her. She's a very comfortable submarine. Of course, she was the best we had. She just off the stocks at Camilleri's. She was absolutely brand new.
Why did she look like a killer, though?
I think the lines of her reminded me of a killer whale. I don't know why I was that stupid, but still. She looked as though she meant business, where the Parthian was more like a comfortable old lady. Mind you, don't forget a Parthian was built in 1927.
Who was the captain of the Tempest?
Cabay, Australian. Another good bloke.
Was he any different because he was an Australian?
No. He just I always find the Australians a bit brash, but I wouldn't say he was. But no, he was a damn nice chap. But one of the things that annoyed me on the Tempest was, we were just on the 1st of January 1942, which is the day we left Scotland to go to the Mediterranean. Our forehatch was shut. We were ready for sea. And they were sending new chaps down, some of them never seen a submarine before, and taking people off her to go and stand by other submarines. I thought they could have at least left them to see us through the first couple of months and then done it, but we were actually hatches were closed, ready to leave, and they were joining through the conning tower, and some of those lads had been civilians 6 months before, and their average age was 18-19. I thought it was absolutely disgusting, but of course it wasn't my opinion.
Did they express any discontent about it themselves?
Who? Yeah,
these hostilities only?
No. They were... By the time we got to Gibraltar, I wouldn't have swapped one of them. Because I was pretty hardened submariner by then. I still see them. Couldn't have been Badcocks, and they still speak to me.
Did you have any discipline problems with them?
No. No, purely superficial. I wouldn't say there was anything. I wouldn't say that they were all angels or anything like that. I mean, you had to sort trouble out sometimes. We had one young lad, a chap called Cronin. He volunteered, and he was a lay preacher. And I've seen that chap. He was about 30 and still an ordinary seaman, and he volunteered because he needn't have done. Before he turned in at night, he used to say his prayers. And of course, some of the lads used to ridicule him, and I wiped the floor with them. I told them what I thought of him, because I didn't say mine. I didn't see why he should say them. And poor Cronin was killed. But,
was he a Scotchman?
I've got an idea he was a Welshman. I wouldn't not be 100% sure.
What was the voyage out from the United Kingdom to the Mediterranean like in Tempest?
When we left Rosyth, I take it you know Scotland fairly well, and you know what it's like in January, don't you? Well, it was blowing a blizzard outside, and when I came off the wheel after we got outside the swept channel and we went to patrol routine, I went down, and the helmsman was sitting by his wheel, and he had a bucket beside him. I'd never seen anything like it before. So I said, what's a bloody bucket doing here? He said, I'm sorry, Swain, he said, but my stomach was playing me up. And he was sticking to the wheel. Mind you, probably wouldn't give him any marks for it, but he stuck there and did his job. But there was a lot of them like that, and they were seasick. And I said to our chief stoker, I said, how's your watch, Bill? Tansy Lee, chap called Lee. No, sorry, I'm going back to Parthian. It's George Spowett, that's right. And pretty senior chief stoker. I said, how's your watch, Bill, George? He said, well, I've got to make it out again. He said, I've got so many new people. I said, so have I. So more or less, I had to sit down and make out a new watch, Bill. And that's how our submarines went to war in 1942. I was very upset about it. Very upset. Not because of the lads, because they were a first-class crowd. And there were, as I say, there were 39 of them killed. And I was very upset about that.
Did you run into the enemy on the way from the Clyde to the Mediterranean?
No.
Where did you go to, Malta or Alexandria?
Well, went to Gib first and did a patrol from Gib. A shaking down patrol, very uneventful, didn't see anything. Well, there wasn't an awful lot off the Spanish coast, not then. It was just pure and simply a sort of shaking down to get used to things. And we came back and sailed for Malta. The one good thing about it was the night before we arrived in Malta, they had a heavy raid, because 1942 was pretty bad in Malta, and we had a grandstand view of, you know, all the gun flashes and bombs dropping and one thing and another. And one of our chaps, a chap called Melwood, he came off watch. He'd been a lookout on a bridge. And as he came into the control room, she gave a bit of a lurch. I suppose she ran into a bit of a sea. And he put his hands out to save himself. And he pressed one of the buttons on the fire control panel for the torpedoes. So away went the fish. And when the captain came down, he said to me, who fired that bloody torpedo? Well, I had to tell him. I mean, he can't. So I said, he will see him in Millwood. I'd rather he didn't put his name. Well, you can put his name in, I suppose. No, in my opinion, he didn't do anything wrong. He was just unlucky, that's all. And Kawai said that I'll see him as soon as we got in harbour. But, of course, we never really got in harbour for him to do anything like that. And Kawai, he was killed, so... I mean, it didn't do any good to resurrect it, so just let it go. That was the only incident. I blame the people who put the firing panel so close to the ladder coming down from the conning tower. But in my opinion, didn't count anyway, so... That was a very sad thing, really. Anyway, we
what
went...
What was the result of the firing of the torpedo?
Oh, yeah, I think we torpedoed Sicily. Because not far away, you know. But, anyway, they were a good little crowd.
Now, can you go through in detail the events of the sinking of the Tempest? You were telling me something about it earlier off the record, but if you can repeat all that about the Una and the Lucania and tell me the whole story, please.
I can tell you it as far as I know. We went on patrol. We left Malta on the Tuesday. The 13th was Friday, so it must have been the 10th. And our patrol area, Malta hadn't had a convoy in for some time. And our job was in the Gulf of Taranto to sink anything that came out of Taranto. On the Thursday, the 12th, one of the lads came down off the bridge. He'd been a lookout. And he was soaked. And he hung his oilskin in the four ends, the torpedo compartment, in other words, over a radiator. Which he shouldn't have done, I know. But I'm not sitting in judgment on anybody. And he hung his oilskin on a hook. During the course of diving, whatever, going down, it fell off the hook onto this radiator and caught fire. That, in turn, was right by the Aztec motor, and it burnt the Aztec motor out. So, actually, underwater, we only had hydrophones to rely on. And we could hear the Circe, because she was one of the first submarines the Italian Navy fitted with Aztecs. And we could hear her pinging all the time. You've heard the Aztec pinging, haven't you? It goes ping, and we could hear it all the time. But we couldn't tell where it was coming from. We could just hear it as it hit the pressure hull. And she dropped, I think, in all 44 depth charges. I've got this to thank for that, hearing aid. And she... I want to get it all right. Anyway, she found us, and she didn't let go. Another incident which occurred, which didn't do us any favours, our port shaft, when we were doing trials, shifted. And all the time it was turning, you could hear. So we couldn't use that motor. Because you can imagine a sound like that when you're being hunted. It gives your position away. Anyway, we took a void in action. But as best we could... But she was on a button every time. And they were close. The gyro compass came off the board. By that I mean it was useless. And we had to rely on the magnetic compass, Faithful Freddy. And as I say, we were steering virtually blind. And after a while... We got caught, the battery boards raised, and chlorine gas, salt water got in the battery, and you know chlorine gas is fatal. So about 8 o'clock in the morning, we were sent down about 3:30, and after just around 8 o'clock in the morning, the captain said, well, it's no good. So he decided to abandon ship. And we came up, abandoned ship. The outcome was that 39 were killed and 23 survivors. The ones that were killed were those that went up first. I was next to last to leave the control room. The engineer officer was the other one. And I was picked up out of the water about 10:30.
What do you remember about getting out?
Relief, I suppose, because in February, even in the Mediterranean, can be cold. And the bad thing, you've a past life coming before you, that's a lot of, what's it?
Bologna?
Bologna, yes. All I could think of was a nice warm bed, because it was cold. But anyway, as I say, I was picked up and was taken to hospital, where they kept us for 17 days.
How long were you in the sea for?
From about 8:30 till 10:30.
2 hours?
Yes.
Just swimming?
Well, I had a Davis escape set on, and we're using them as life jackets, not as... So, I mean, from that point of view, they're quite good as life jackets.
Who could you see round about you in those 2 hours?
We saw some of them. I said to the crew, I said, now, come on, keep together. We'll stand a better chance of being picked up if we all stop together, and, which we did. And I think the fact that we did stop together, that 23 were, you know, saved. The Italians treated us very well. But you couldn't help feeling sorry for them. They didn't have anything. Their food was... Well, I couldn't face it. I mean, we were fairly well fed in submarines. And their chief and petty officers called all our chief and petty officers up into their mess.
This is of the Cersei?
Cersei, yes. And gave us some macaroni or something and glasses of this very raw wine. It was horrible stuff. I don't know if you've ever tasted overall wine in your life, but they seem to thrive on it. But I'd soon have had a tart. But, and they all shook hands. When we went off, we got back to Taranto at midnight and we were taken to this hospital. And some of the crew came and visited us and brought cigarettes. I don't know if you ever smoked in your life.
Yes.
But, I wouldn't recommend these Italian cigarettes. They are really horrible. But there again, I thought it was a good of them to come up. They picked up one chap, a chap called Campbell. It was an ERA. He was dead. And they gave him a military funeral and let us all attend with the white engine and over the coffin. And I formed the impression that if somebody had said that they'd lost the war and there's no more going to sea and this, they'd have been very, very pleased.